Hey there, welcome to Trans Experience, the podcast where real people from the trans community get together to share their stories, struggles, and victories.
Get ready for some genuine and relatable conversations that dive into the heart of the trans experience and beyond.
We have so much to share, so grab your headphones and let's dive into the awesome and diverse world of becoming and living our own truth. Welcome back to Trans Experience. This is LG.
This is Madison.
This is Callie.
This is Tay.
And today the topic that we have is a sensitive topic. We want to actually engage in discussing the candidate debate that took place on, when you guys hear this, it'll be like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
We do want to make sure that the views and the opinions that we give are respectful, mindful, and into consideration that we're not trying to influence you on who to vote or who not to vote. I think that the main goal here is to encourage all the people to just exercise that right that they have.
Well, I think it's fair to say that we're going to allow the four of us to each have our own voice in this.
Definitely.
So if someone wants to say who they're going to vote for and why they're going to vote for that person, by all means, I invite that conversation because I think there's going to be someone for everyone at this table right now, right?
And I think that as long as we do it respectfully, we can definitely engage in those topics. Who wants to open it up? What did you guys think about the debate? Let's start with Callie.
Okay, well, I want to start by saying thank you for letting me go first. And secondly, I want to say a lot of important things during the debate for me, and I can see as well for the country. What is something that is very important to me is to not out myself or share in any way who I am or am not voting for. It's something that I do for my own personal privacy and to not influence others in any direction either way.
But you would agree it's important to vote.
I agree that it's incredibly important to be a part of the community that you live in. And if voting is what is the community doing at that time,
well, everybody should be voting.
Then yes, we need the votes.
Yeah.
Because that's really what's going to make the decision at the end of the day. I feel like watching this debate, I'm so inspired, I'm so influenced, and I'm so much easier at my decision of who I am going to vote for. Not just for visual sake of who did the better arguing or who's holding themselves better at the stand and who can, you know, look the part. It's a lot of the tiny details that are mattering to me. A lot of the personal connections that are mattering to me for the American people, for the world, and how America has influence and has a say on a lot of the things that happen in our entire planet. And so what is really important to me is to see who's going to uphold the American traditions that are then and that are now and that are going to carry us into the future. Who can do the job? Who can do America right? Who is going to uphold what it is that is needed for the American people to survive?
I have a question.
Thrive.
Did you see, between the two people up there on stage, did you see one of them that could do that in your opinion? Don't say who, just did you see that?
Yes.
Perfect. That's what the debates are for.
Yeah. I'm not saying that the other one couldn't, because certainly they both are doing the job currently. They are both doing the job. The thing that I'm kind of seeing as a highlighted importance is who is representing the country from all the way to the Constitution to today to tomorrow.
Okay. I like that. So, Madison, with your views in, because you did watch the debate as well.
I've watched it a few times, actually.
Nice. So what would you have to say, like, what part does debating and having these conversations that are, you know, like, publicized as well, and I don't know how to broadcast it in such a broad light. Why do you think this is important, especially not only just for the country, but for the democracy of this country?
Yeah, so I think that it's very important because the first debate took part in 1960, and it was Nixon and Kennedy. And it was very clear that at that point people knew that having these debates was great because it got the larger audience, because you have people who are voting for someone, right? and they're going to watch this debate. And so the other person has a chance to really explain themselves and introduce themselves and create these policies that they're going to show other people that could, at the time in 1960, you could sway a voter. Mm-hmm. That's not, in this election, in my opinion, you're not able to sway anybody, right? Everyone already knows who they're going to vote for. So I feel like the debate was merely to be entertainment value, right? Because we really didn't hear a lot from either on policy. I mean, I know that Kamala Harris said that she had some opportunity economic policy, but didn't really dive into that. Like, gave us a couple of numbers. Great. Donald Trump said that he has concepts of a plan for a health plan. You know what I mean? So I don't like that either. So for me, it was more entertainment purposes than actually policy-driven purposes. And I feel like the debate, we know, is crucial because without the first debate that we had, Biden would still be running. So clearly the debates work on a higher level than we were expecting it to. This one that happened, I feel, was good for both and bad for both for various reasons. You were going
to
say something?
Yeah, I wanted to ask you a question, like, because you probably kind of got a little bit more insight on that. So as far as the policy part, like, why do you think that, in your perspective, not because this is what they're doing, but, like, why do you think that both of them didn't want to come up with a policy at the time? Like, because in my mind, when I was watching it too, my whole thing was on the policy. And I was like,
I'm getting on the edge of my seat. I'm on the edge of my seat. I'm ready to dive into this. Because this is the problem is both of them are trying to reach the middle ground of the voters, right? The independent voters. They are the largest percentage right now, the undecided voters. So what they're both trying to do is come up with these quote unquote plans to make that undecided voter think that they should vote for them. Mm-hmm. And it's not working for either one of them, mm-hmm. right? Because Trump is still too far out there for some. And Kamala hasn't actually, Harris, I should say, doesn't really have anything in stone. Mm-hmm. She's released a couple things, but not near what she needs to really pull those voters in. And so those undecided voters are the ones that they were trying to get to mm-hmm. during this debate. And I don't think either one really effectively did that.
And honestly, I think, like, why she's saying she wants to do another second debate is maybe because maybe she wanted to see what Trump was going to put out first, or maybe one or the other was going to do that. But, like, with the second debate coming around, like, as far as that, I think hopefully my hope is for a policy to come out just to give us as the people, as Americans, a little bit more insight and a little bit more, like, leverage.
My question to everybody on the table is, do you think there will be a third debate?
Honestly, and I want to say this very, like, nicely, because at the end of the day, I think Trump wants to debate, but if you were looking at their face expressions on when Kamala was reading his rights, like, his face was like, you know, like, you can tell somebody's, like, how do you say that word where somebody's coming against you and you're, like, kind of, like, you don't know what to do, like, you're flustered or whatever.
Yeah.
But his face, like, he started rolling his eyes and doing, like, things like that. And I think that is something that would probably want to push in another a debate, maybe a third debate.
Yeah.
And I you know, well, I think that's what it's coming to.
Yeah. LG, do you think there'll be a third debate?
I doubt it. I think that the first debate was totally going for the Republicans.
Yep.
I think that the second debate came and hindered Trump's campaign. I think that it really showed a candidate that is prone to reacting rather than responding. I think that from the get-go, when Kamala Harris came in, and
handshake.
Exactly. You know,
that was fire.
She initiated that. And the way that Trump reacted to it, even though he went for it, you can see how he was intimidated by it and not expecting it. I think that Kamala Harris looks great on what she was doing, or the main purpose of that debate for the Democratic Party, which was establishing herself that she can fill in that role, that she can fill in that gap. And on the other candidate, like, to make the statements that he did, you know, he actually got fact-checked on one of those things and was like, nope, it's not like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we see a candidate, as I said, that is prone to react rather than to respond, and that truly doesn't have a plan in mind.
He has concepts of a plan, that's what he said.
And you know what? One of the things that Callie was saying is to bring tradition, but whose tradition?
Yeah.
For what geographics of the country?
So is when I say tradition, I mean, like, basically, you have to implement where the country came from in order to care for it today in a way that is taking, basically, so that the issues of today are not basically buried by the intent of yesterday. And so that caring for today can lay a foundation for tomorrow.
Okay. I agree, but I think that it's fair to say, like, with our country, we have to remember where we've been so we know where we're
going.
That's
what I'm saying.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That's what you're trying to say?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just...
Like, we have to embrace where we've been.
It's very important.
To know where we're going,
yeah,
because
well, I mean,
we've made some mistakes.
Anything that we experience or any decisions that are made in with, you know, as America, I believe that there are some... There are absolutely core values that are being held on to that keep everything on a basis of reality. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So that's what I meant when I said that.
Well, what I'm trying to get to is, for example, when we talk about core values, usually, especially the society that we live in today, especially as trans women, we do not fit those core values. What I'm trying to get to is that we do not fit most of the mold, you know, like, let's be honest. We are seeing, one of the things is Project 2025. You know what I mean? It's hindering to us. You know, Trump says that he's not behind it. You know what I mean? But we do know that in the past, he supported, you know, like this foundation, which is, I forget the name of that
foundation. Heritage Foundation.
The Heritage Foundation, and he's gone with what they've planned. So my concern here when it comes to this election and based on the debate is, which is the candidate that's going to make sure that not just certain demographic is protected, but also who's going to make sure that the entire country as a whole has those rights, that has the right to be who they want to be, that have those legislations for healthcare, that make sure that, I mean, everyone is able to live free in this country as it was intended to, free from religion, free of speech, you know, like free to carry your gun. That's one of the other things that I really liked about Kamala Harris when she said, well, you know what, I own a gun. You know what I mean? So what I see on that side, on that candidate, is a lot of what I would like to see for the future of America. All inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that's what it really boils down to. Trump might be a great businessman.
No, he's not.
That's why I said might be. I'm not sure because
yeah.
I really don't have those.
The bankruptcies speak for themselves.
Well, you know, that might be a smart move because every time he's on those bankruptcies, like, he's still living the life. So obviously,
yeah.
Like, he knows how to play the system. You know what I mean? So what I'm trying to get to with all of this is, which is the candidate that's going to represent you, that's going to make sure that your side of the street gets fed too?
Well, no, I think that you have to compromise some of those things, right?
Okay.
I'm not going to get everything I want from either one of them.
All right.
Right? I'm
fair.
Just not. So,
oh,
like,
yes.
Which one am I going to sell myself short for the most? Right? And I think that's where, like, when we talk about this, like, we're not going to talk about, like, some of us are going to share who we're going to vote for, some of us aren't. And our job is to respect that space,
mm-hmm.
right? But at the same time, there are things that have happened that you have to acknowledge,
mm-hmm.
right?
Neither
one are perfect. Let's
mm-hmm.
be clear about that. They both have massive rooms for improvement, and we talked about that before we even started recording, and I think that's something we could dive into again,
mm-hmm.
you know? But with that said, Tay, you were trying to say something.
Yeah, I mean, as far as both of them, it's a common sense thing here with me, I'm sorry to say, but if you're really looking at the big picture and look on everything that was said at the debate and how both of them were interacting as far as to each other, as far as how Kamala came up there as person that's representing our country, if you're going to be representing our country, I mean, don't you think you would be trying to go up to somebody without even a question, or even why are you shying yourself from that opportunity to show that you are a better role model or a better fit to the whole world? Only not that, that was the first red flag for me. You know what I'm saying? And then top of that, it's like you're going up against somebody that is very powerful. One, because he got a lot of money. One, he is probably very, very intelligent. Don't get me wrong on that. I'm sorry. But at the end of the day, like, as far as him using his tactics like that as being a businessman, why are you insulting? Why are you coming after the next party? Like, why are you downgrading somebody else? Why are you putting them down? As far as that, that has showed me the position where I'm at today and with who I want to vote for. Not only because I want to fight for rights or children's rights, school, you know, all these things, but I want somebody that's going to uphold, because at the end of the day, like you said, Madison, both of them are, both have their flaws.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They do. And at the end of the day, I don't want to go backwards where we came back from, where it's all about just religion, because I'm not saying that that's what we're at, but we are mentally, physically, emotionally, all our stuff is evolving around religion right now. And it's like, that's what's tearing us apart, because everybody doesn't want to let go of the old ways, the traditions, when there's improvement for new things.
I think that what you're referring to is, you know, specifically to, is that foundation that we talked about, is the Heritage Foundation with the 2025 project, which is basically, you know, like, quite, you can say, like, almost depicted from a religious point of view. You know what I mean? Where,
but it depends on what lens you're using to look at it through.
Okay.
I don't see white people as only religious.
No, that's not what I meant.
Okay.
What I meant is, like, the approach that they're having, especially to the LGBTQ plus community.
Okay.
You know, it seems really secluded. The fact that you want to check...
No, they're hiding behind the religion. Okay, that's what you meant? They're hiding behind the religion. That's where you're going with that.
Yes.
Okay, I'm on board.
So, go ahead, Callie, please.
Something that I noticed in the debate was a handshake, of course. I had somebody kind of bring it to me the other way, like, well, maybe he just doesn't give a shit about the handshake, you know? So maybe that was his version of a display of dominance.
Okay.
But I originally felt the same way that you did. I was concerned, curious, and interested as to why it went that way. I feel like the opening debate, I have my opinions about how that can be...
You mean the opening part of the debate?
The opening part of the debate.
Okay.
How it may need to be organized or orchestrated by the people who are putting the debate together. In other words, there should be a formal format of entry to the debate, because that right there was very confusing and it set the tone for the entire thing.
I have a question. Do you think the moderators did a good job?
I have one more thing to say that I felt like, because I'll lose it if I don't say it now.
Say it.
That I feel as though strongly there was one candidate who had a true and valid and obvious passion for America, for the world, and for the people that live on this planet, the actual people. And then the other person who had a very strong intent and interest in to uphold and to proceed their own doings. And that is where I found a weighing factor for me in who I'm gonna choose to vote for.
Okay,
so when you mentioned the moderators, I think that they were really fair.
You do.
I really do think so.
Okay.
I think that they both timed them, and they both, there were times when they allowed each of them to slide a little bit with extra time.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time where Kamala wanted to answer and they were like, nope, and that they shut that down. They did the same for Trump. I think that it went fair.
Do you feel like with the time, the moderating and the timing, and I feel as though the first time that Trump ever debated was on the debate stage, that he was a lot more outruly, and he was pushing past those time points. He was just no respect to the format whatsoever, because he had a lot to say, I would say, you know.
This is Trump's 7th or 8th debate as a presidential nominee.
Yeah, so do you think that he may have...
I think the experience has helped
him. Do you have an opinion on how it went now as opposed to how it was at the beginning for him?
I do believe that Trump handled himself way much better than expected. He was still Trump, which, you know, like, it's totally fine, because here's the thing, if you're gonna come into a space, you still need to be you. Whether I support him or not, I can recognize that, and him drifting away from that would be him presenting a fake version of who he truly is.
Sure.
I really appreciated him being himself, but without the extras, you know what I mean? There were some allegations that he made that I was like, oh, he took me by surprise, because for me, the entire debate was one way to see democracy happening. You know, at least for myself, that's what I viewed. The other things that you guys were talking about were, is which candidate is for, you said that one candidate was to be really for the people, the other one was mainly for their agenda. And I think that we need to be able to see those things in order for us to make the right choice for America. Whatever that choice may be for you, whichever candidate it's for you, do that. And that's fine with me. But you have to make sure that, for myself, I have to make a decision not based on where my hate is at, but more of where my hope is going to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I do have hope for America, for us to rebuild, for us to be able to become that country that we used to be without secluding, without ostracizing, without casting away certain communities. I think that if we stand united, there's a reason this country is called the United States.
Well,
now we need to become the United People as well, for as close as we can get to that.
My question is, though, like, what do you mean, like, when you say how it used to be? Because I don't think America's ever had it right,
mm-hmm.
Let's be clear.
I mean,
like, when you say used to be, like, how far back are you going?
Here's the thing. There's certain things that make this country great. The finances back in the day. You know, like, when we used to have more capital, when we used to have better deals with other countries, when we used to tax right, when there were the proper legislations were in due time. And you can go back to the 1800s or you can go back to the 1990s where there were actually legislations that were good for this country. But what has happened in the last few years is that we've allowed the hate and the greed of others to hinder that, to block those things, to prevent the American dream to keep happening. We have good times. And I'm not talking about like the slavery, fuck that. Like, we don't want that back. Mm-hmm. We don't want Stonewall back again either. You know what I mean? Like, that's not what I'm referring to. I'm referring to the America that was the hope for everyone. The reason that most immigrants come to this country is for that dream that America used to provide. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You said, like, if we go back to, you know, like the foundation of this country, it was part of it, immigrants. And they created this great nation. Why? Because they were escaping persecution. They were escaping poverty. They were escaping all of these things that the people that are escaping from today, because these things still exist outside of the country. You know what I mean? And that's the America that I want to see. One that embraces everyone with the same respect. Of course, there is laws and there's certain things that we have to abide by. And I'm totally fine with that. But we need to come up with legislations that allows individuals to live a decent life. You know, if we become a richer country, we have a moral duty to help those countries that are underdeveloped and help them to get back on their feet so that we don't have to be keeping supporting them, so that they can support themselves and so that they can be free nations as well, if that makes any sense.
It does. Tay, what do you got?
I have a lot. As far as everything with the situation, I think there's two main things here that I really want to talk about as far as keeping the dream alive, as far as keeping America free again. And my thing, it goes like basically like our freedom. You know what I'm saying? How are we going to take away, how are you going to let whatever take away our schooling for our kids? You know what I'm saying? That's going to be our future. And then on top of that, the work environment. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're trying to cap, like basically making us pay more taxes. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not looking like I need to be paying more taxes right now. You know, because my pockets ain't hitting right. So I'm worried about where I'm going to live and how I'm going to live with what I've got right now. You know what I'm saying? And with the candidates going head to head, I really was trying to see what they were going to talk about or what kind of plans they were going to infiltrate into what was going to come here. So anyway, long story short, I'm voting for Kamala Harris. Because she has proven over and over and over and over to me that it's not about trying to fight another person for something that is built on people's backs. That where we came from was not an easy place to come from. We've worked hard for what we wanted. People have gotten what they've gotten handed down to them. And right now she showed me the passion that where she's come from and how far she has her flaws.
Yes.
But this woman has been in the White House already as vice president.
Hold on, this is the problem, because people are saying that because she's already been there, why wasn't more done?
Because you have to remember.
Thank you for listening to another episode. We hope you enjoyed it and will find the time to leave a comment with your feedback.
You can like us and follow us on facebook.com/transexperience3.
Also, feel free to email us at transexperience3@gmail.com. Thank you.